This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 48, sponsored by ComicHole.com. Hey, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 48. My name's Ron, and I'm here with Connor.
Hello.
And I'm very pleased to be here with Josh.
Hi.
Hey, you made it.
I'm alive.
You're alive and a resident of New York. Yay.
I am.
Congratulations.
I'm now only 12 miles away from Connor.
Welcome.
Do you regret it? How much do you regret it?
I won't regret it soon. How's that work? Let me tell you something. Driving across the country, that part's fine. Moving into a new place.
That's the tough part, right?
That, like, you know nothing about. It's, whew. Yeah.
But it can also be fun. It's an adventure.
Yeah. I liked those adventures when I was 22 a lot.
Older, not so much.
God, it's amazing. And now I'm just, like, sore, and I'm, like, tired. I'm like, oh, can I pay someone to do this? I understand illegal labor now. And it sounds like a good deal.
How old are you again?
I'm 29.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, now that iFanboy...
Crotchety.
Now that iFanboy is back together as one unit, we want to remind you that we like comics. And every week we read the comics that come out, and one of us picks our favorite book and writes a review that you can read as the pick of the week on iFanboy.com. But then we gather here together and record this podcast for you and talk about that book as well as whatever else is going on in the world of comics. But before we dive right in, quick warning, we're going to be reviewing this week's comics, so we might give stuff away, a couple spoilers might crop up, so if you haven't read Civil War or any of the other books or anything like that, don't listen. Come back after you've read the books. So in honor of Josh's return to the East Coast, we let him pick the book this week.
Well, that I was supposed to do it last week.
Quote, unquote, let him. Yeah. De facto, because yeah. I was out of town and Connor was, I don't know, Connor. So Josh, I'll hand it off to you.
Well, it should be noted that as much as I said I'm sort of beat down and tired now, when I wrote this on Wednesday, I was really tired. So I don't know if this was actually any good or not. No.
I've got to say, before we get started, though, I was very pleased to see what you picked.
So. I you know what? Honestly, after I read everything, I had no choice but to pick Astonishing X-Men 17. Which astute users will note means that I've picked two X books in a row.
Woo!
Is Armageddon? Is it?
I know. Pestilence, plague, and famine can't be far behind.
And those are Horsemen of Apocalypse from the X Men books.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it probably goes back a little further than that.
I know.
Didn't Claremont write a lot of Dante's Inferno?
And the Bible?
Basically, I read through all my books, and I had a bit of a hard time because I hadn't read books in a long time, and I kind of didn't remember what was going on, and, like, Civil War was supposed to be the big thing, I almost picked Wolverine, honestly, because I had a lot of fun reading it, but I thought that overall it was really good, but it wasn't upper echelon quality. And then as I was finishing up, I went back and looked at X-Men again, and I just thought, that was really good. And like the more that I flip through it and the more that I look at it, I really appreciated it. And you know, also because I've said before, like, I don't quite understand what's going on in all of the Astonishing X-Men. And on this one, I pretty much had it. And also, as I started my review off like this, the cover is like the best cover I've seen in such a long time. This is like my favorite cover for a really long time. And I really thought that the Wolverine joke was getting kind of old. The joke in Astonishing X-Men, of course, is that they mind altered Wolverine. He thinks he's a little kid, but he's like a little,
like a little British kid,
a little poncy British kid, yeah. Which I guess would be like from the origin story, I guess.
Yeah, it'd be like if he didn't become Wolverine, they pushed him back to that state. Yeah,
is he Canadian though?
Well, yeah, but it was like poncy Canadian because Canada is actually linked to Britain. Connor, I don't know if you know that part of the Queen's.
Well,
realm.
Is he from? Is only part of it is.
Right. Yeah, but
his family would have been from England.
He's from an aristocratic family as well. Right. So, yeah.
I've claws, you know. He was just a little, he was like the Simon, the old Mike Myers sketch. That's kind of how he acts. Mommy makes me wear a helmet. But it was really funny, and like it's just a great cover because he's just kind of peering around the corner, and they use the one claw on his face, and he's kind of scared. And if you've seen it, it's really good. And then of course that leads to what is also, besides the best cover, the best single page of five panels that I've seen in a comic book for a really long time, where a can of beer plops him on the head, and he looks at it, and there's a rack focus on the beer can to his eyes when you can see that he's come back. And it's a perfect way of doing comics cinematically and without words and telling a story with picture and doing it really, really well. And that really got me. Besides that, you start off and you've got, Kitty's going through her personal nightmares. She's the last one standing, last X-Men standing, basically. And they put her through psychological torture and they put her in a really horrible situation where she thinks that she's had a kid and it's been taken away from her and she's got to go against all the X-Men. And that's just the writing part of it. The art part of it it's Cassidy, who he's got to be the best guy working right now, I think. I can't think of anybody better. I don't know what happened to Travis Charest. That's the only other guy whose sort of art I considered close to this.
What happened to him? I love
He that. Got hired by
something French.
Yeah, the Humanoids. Humanoids Publishing. He does French books.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. But I mean, it's not too bad. They're probably good books, but I'm not buying them. So I think I just wanted to do superheroes.
Yeah.
But it was a really good book. And then there's a turn at the end where I guess this refers to something that happened earlier. But I guess the thing is that I didn't even need to read that to appreciate it. So,
well, did you notice that he's wearing the Grant Morrison costume?
See, I didn't make that connection until later. But from thanks to the people on the board, like I've learned a lot. Like, there's a lot of references to, this is the only thing that's going with Grant Morrison's thing, because apparently Joss Whedon really liked Grant Morrison's run, whereas other people are a little more ambivalent about it.
Ron.
That's what I meant.
Which is really funny, because this is making a lot of references to Morrison's run, because Whedon really liked it, but I also see it as kind of, you know, not retconning it, but kind of dealing with it. You know what I mean? Whereas the other books are just kind of ignoring it.
Which you like.
So, yeah, which is fine,
but,
yeah.
But Marvel's thing really is to ignore it.
Well, no.
Like, if it happened and they don't like it, they just move on.
Right, which is Marvel's thing, but even bad things I don't like just ignoring it. You know what I mean? Like, I like dealing with it, you know? And everybody freaks out at the retcon, but the retcons... I mean, honestly, retcons are what keep these comics going for so long.
God, yeah.
You know, and so...
They wouldn't work any other way.
Right, yeah, exactly. So,
Can I ask you one question? Are Xavier's eyebrows always like that?
No, they're not, and that freaked me out.
That's the only thing I didn't like, but I didn't want to write about it because I didn't know if that was he's all about the eyebrows.
I mean, Cassidy's drawing Xavier and Cassandra Nova similar to Quitely, which I, you know, don't like. But whatever, I guess he'd be the creepy eyebrow, wispy, Vulcan-y kind of face. But what I think is really funny is that, because ever since the last issue, the speculation is what's in the box, you know, like, you know, and vague Seven reference. And before that, the question was who's the hooded person of the Hellfire Club. And I just think it's so funny that the majority of speculation I always heard was that no matter what, any kind of mystery in the X-Men, the answer, everybody always assumes, oh, it's Jean Grey. Oh, it's Jean Grey.
So it's always been Jean Grey, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's like, because I remember who we were talking to somebody in San Diego, and they're like, come on, who's the chick on the hood? You know it's Jean Grey, you know? And a great twist is that it was this other Emma, and then, or the original Emma, or whatever.
I actually don't get that either. It's my pick of the week. I don't know anything about it.
Well, no, the thing is, the two Emmas, I don't get either. Like, there's no explanation of that yet. So that's really kind of, you know, honestly confusing, and because the Emma that seems to be in control now is straight out of the early 80s Dark Phoenix
Hellfire Club.
It's the Corsity Emma, whereas the Emma now is, you know, X-Men and they
it
look
seems almost different. A Superman 3 thing where it's good and bad Emma.
Yeah. So that's the Emma thing, but then the box. Everybody's just like, oh, you know, it's Jean Grey's body. It's Jean Grey's body. You know, it's like, it's funny how that's always the go-to, and I'm glad
the way that I read it was Cassandra Nova's...
her essence or whatever, which doesn't explain how she's in that bot. Like, I don't understand how she's there. And I guess they kind of allude to it with the sword people saying that they're getting flickers of Cassandra Nova.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, because basically she, you know, she takes over bodies and, you know, and... You know, that's how she keeps going.
Finally, if I may, I'll just comment on the last page how they did something unthinkable.
What, they used a gun?
No. Scott Summers looks cool.
Yeah.
You like that?
Shot at
well,
Rob.
That's the one thing that made me really, really kind of because it was a great scene and it was really cool. But what I stepped away from was like, I was like, oh, they like this could be a major change for Cyclops. Like, if he doesn't need the visor anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
and are you okay with that?
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't seem like he has the optic blast at all. If he did, he would use them, wouldn't he?
True, good point. I mean, maybe they turned his powers off. Yeah, because his eyes are not red. And typically, when his visor is off and he does have his powers, his eyes are red. So.
You've also got to sort of make the assumption that he's going to now make him the center of this part of the story, which is must like.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
My favorite thing about this run is how they've made Kitty Pryde a badass.
She rules.
Because you really don't... I mean, I always thought she was kind of goofy.
No, she's always been a badass, though.
But, I mean, the idea of using her powers in these ways, like putting the axe in Cyclops and Colossus's head, and putting Emma in the ground.
Yeah.
She's a very
modern... You realize her powers can be really scary if used properly.
She's a very modern sort of female superhero. In the sense, like, she's not TNA-based at all.
Right, no, she I mean, the thing with her is that she's always had this, like... you know, kind of intelligent charm to her. You know, like she's, you know, because not only do her powers whack out computers, but she's also very gifted with technology and with computers. And she, you know, Wolverine trained her to fight, so she looks kind of timid, but she could probably kick your ass, you know?
Right.
So, like, she, and it's very much up Whedon's kind of alley, you know, mainly, you know, Buffy was, you know, she's the inspiration for Buffy as it is, so.
But she's also, I mean, she's just a very non-sexualized female superhero, which is
actually
she's pretty
always
rare.
She's always wearing the non-revealing costume.
But
people
love her. Fanboys love her. Meaning that you don't have to have Power Girl to have dudes like a female character.
That's the point that I think is made. I've been having a lot of conversations around this theme where it's like you know, people, there are things that people think there are archetypes or stereotypes that people think work, such as, you know, TNA heroine characters. And they might work on the surface, but for a deeper, more long-term appreciation, it's a character like Kitty who people will love for, you know, a lifetime. Yeah, so it's just a little more subtle and it takes a little longer. You know, it's not as obvious.
Right.
So I don't know.
But I mean, are you guys both in agreement it was a good book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So. It was a wonderful week for the mutants. Let me tell you.
It was. Yeah. You had X Factor, X Men.
Well, and I mean, and you're almost pick Wolverine. I mean, because it was a big Civil War book, and the X Men connection to Civil War is Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
But I just read all my books last night because I've been away this week and I couldn't – apparently I was in New Orleans and apparently there's one comic book store left in New Orleans and it was like 10 miles from where I was, and so I didn't get a chance to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I didn't get my books till last night, and I was actually impressed. I was way impressed by Wolverine. I could understand why it was almost your pick.
That would have been my pick.
Yeah, it was really, really good. It was really good. And the scene at the end with Wolverine and Emma and Scott was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Was the argument as to getting involved and doing the right thing and what do we need to do, and it just continued that kind of, you know, that kind of theme.
I thought that one thing that it did that, and we'll get into this in a minute, I guess, as we do our all-Marvel Civil War theme podcast.
Woo!
The one thing that I found interesting is that this is the only book at least way more than the main title, that's really made it a believable political scenario.
Correct, right.
Well, the great thing is that if you're not reading Wolverine, you're only reading Civil War, you have no idea why the Civil War is really happening.
Well, and that's the thing, is that it's the inherent, you know, joke of this crossover, I think, which is that, you know, they made such a big deal in the beginning about how you only need to buy Civil War and you can read that story, and you don't need to buy the supporting books. And the supporting books are where the depth and the interesting stuff is coming out of.
But I think it's true. I still think that's true.
You can still read Civil War and like it. I mean, there's a guy at my office
but you're
who
not getting
only
nearly,
reads Civil War. No, but he's still enjoying it. That's what it's saying. It's still a self-contained story in that. You just don't have the deeper level of meaning to it.
Right, yeah.
But it's still a really good book on its own.
I mean, this turned, you know, Wolverine's Hunt for Revenge into a really interesting kind of political, you know, like, who's in it and why.
I'm kind of wondering if this will surface in the main Civil War story, though. Like, is this just going to be something that exists here if you read Wolverine good, and if not, then it may as well not have happened?
Yeah, I don't know. But all I got to say is I was psyched to see Forge.
I love Forge.
Forge rules.
I was like, who's that guy?
Forge rules.
I like the art more and more every month.
The art was good, except in the term of sexualizing characters, I groaned a little at Emma.
Yeah,
right.
That's
90% of comics. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's this guy's.
Plus, she's sexualized more than any character, so it's not. I wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah, true.
I don't know, but I don't think she would be wearing like a 17-year-old's clothing.
Yeah, that was the thing, was that she was, you know, the white tank top with the purple bra sticking out. Yeah. Really, I didn't really.
Why not? She's in her 20s. Girls in her 20s wear.
Right, yeah, and I guess she's home and she's casual. She doesn't always need to be in the booth.
I know a ton of girls who dress like that.
Yeah, I know, but
I know you do, all right? Don't rub it in.
She's the white queen, though.
She's home. She doesn't have to wear the costume all the time.
Right, yeah, she's not going to wear the cape all the time, yeah.
I know, but there's a certain level of, like you dress like a teenager, or you can dress sexy.
It's not teenager dressing.
It's unfortunately. Well, not fortunately. For us, it's not anymore. Oh, that's awful. Anyway, so Wolverine was good. I agree, it was very good, and I could see why it was a close.
There were some really fun lines in it, and it was a good time.
So should we discuss the book?
Yeah, sure. What the heck?
Superman 656, right?
Right. Yeah. Totally.
not that one.
So Civil War finally came out.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel like it's been that long, by the way.
It doesn't.
Really doesn't.
Was it supposed to come? What has it been? True, like, is it on time, or did it come out earlier than they said it would?
It's a month late.
Oh, okay. They said it was going to be 6 weeks late, though. That's what I mean. Like, did they over under promise and over deliver? That's what, you know.
I think. I mean, we got the last one right at the Wednesday before the Comic-Con.
Right.
It was 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so
I was a little disappointed in the art. I thought it was way worse than the other three issues, and I thought.
Seems rushed.
It seems really rushed, really sketchy, and if we waited that long for the art and it was that bad, why did we wait that long? Yeah. I thought there was maybe only four or five really, really good panels. The rest looked like he was rushing it, and I was really disappointed in the art.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I thought it was a big difference in the last three.
Interesting. Interesting. And the plot twists?
Meh.
I thought the Thor thing was a huge cop-out.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? No. You liked it?
Yeah. Thor's dead.
Right. Yeah.
So how else would you do that?
I guess in a sense you're right. I mean, like, everyone would have been like, well, great, now Thor's back again.
It's
way
worse cop-out would have been just bringing him back.
That's a good point.
It depends on which way you're looking at it.
I wasn't surprised by the Sue Richards thing, by the way. I mean, I kind of had a feeling something like that was going to happen.
Well, she's been on the fence, I think, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has. I really liked when she and Johnny were leaving the Baxter building. I liked how it's raining, and she's got a little invisible bubble above her to keep her dry, and Johnny's got a little fire bubble above him to keep him dry.
I think I noticed that.
That was really cool.
So what's the deal? Now Falcon's not from the street?
Well, he was only from the street in that one.
In Avengers, right. Yeah, exactly.
I love Bitter Angry Cap.
Bitter Angry Mangled Cap?
He's at the edge, and I've never seen him at the edge before. And I love that.
Maybe this is a function of them saying that everybody's been pushed to extremes, but, like, I don't know. It feels to me like that Bitter Angry Cap, like, he's way too far gone. He's not making right decisions.
Right.
And I mean, I understand he's been pushed really far, but he's Captain America. Like, he's supposed to be the one who always makes the right decision.
Well, that's the whole quagmire.
Well,
I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it's even that bad yet that he'd have to be at that point. And vice versa, the idea of using the villains seems like the worst idea of all time. Like, haven't these people ever read comic books?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're fighting your friend for your own survival, then you're going to be in the worst extreme, mm-hmm. you know. So the Cap thing is, I don't mind. The villain thing is, I can definitely see your point, but I think Cap is in a very believable place. If he's fighting Tony Stark for his own survival,
sure.
and the life of his friends, then that's a bad place to be in.
Now, admittedly, I didn't really get the rift in the scene when Cable and the girl from Young Avengers and the Squadron Supreme guy broke off. Like, I didn't get the argument.
They thought it was Thor, and they thought they were screwed, and they were all going to die. So they
right, yeah, but the thing is, I didn't believe Cable would do that. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, Nighthawk I could understand, and I didn't really even know
who Nighthawk was.
He was in the Defenders, and he originally came over with the Squadron Supreme.
I was like, why is Harvey Birdman upset?
He's a C-level character.
But I mean, I understand there was an argument, but I didn't believe that Cable would side in that way, and I didn't really understand why Cassie did, you know, why the Young Avengers kind of like that split didn't make sense to me. That's all. I mean, it seemed kind of mangled and quick. And quickly, if you open to the page where Cap's in the on that where it's a Secret Avengers headquarters, and Cap has got his leg in the thing and he's getting tended to.
Right.
In the background, I believe Triathlon is standing
yes,
on the balcony.
He is.
Yeah,
is that him?
Just yes. wanted to note that. Yeah,
his costume actually got more. Oh wait, no. Okay, sorry, I wasn't looking at Triathlon.
No, not the '70s guy directly behind Captain America. Who I have no idea.
Who's he looks... Afro Lady? Why did they put all the black superheroes up there?
It's like To Kill a Mockingbird.
It's terrible.
Oh god.
No, but I can see why they would leave, because they think
half the people on the floor are black too, so yeah. a lot of black superheroes in the Resistance.
They think that they're gonna lose now because that the other side has Thor, and they don't want to end up dead or in the prison, so they're going.
Yeah, but they don't know that Sue's coming to join them. And well, no. Sue and Johnny.
Isn't Cable from the future? Sorry.
Yeah, but
I'm not gonna do that.
A fractured future. Yeah. Anyway,
well, who's the guy in the mask?
I don't know who the dude in the mask is.
It looks like... Who's that dude in G.I. Joe?
Oh, Beachhead.
No, Beachhead or...
Oh,
the...
I wondered about who
no,
that
that's
was.
Beachhead's mask. The
it
green...
is Beachhead. That's exactly what
yeah,
I thought
thank
it was.
You, jerk.
Beachhead is the...
is the trainer.
Yeah.
He's the... Yeah,
who
he's
is it,
the
though?
Crane operator. I love that shot, by the way, of Goliath in the ground.
Yeah, with his face kind of shine.
Yeah, there's another really good shot of Goliath when he's standing. Yeah. I think right as he gets zapped.
Yeah.
It's real good.
I can't believe they did that. That was brutal.
I don't even know who Goliath is.
Yeah, that was a thing. I felt nothing because I was like, I don't know who this guy is. So
yeah, no, I know. Yeah,
so that's supposed to be a major character. So apparently, if somebody exists more than 10 years, that makes him a major character.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. I mean, he's a typical scientist guy. Took up the worked with Hank Pym. Got the picked up the
hasn't been seen since.
Became Goliath. Yeah, exactly. He was around in the '90s too. In the '90s he was called Black Goliath.
Jeez,
that's bad.
That?
That's bad.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they really. It was awful. Yeah. So
I thought it was a powerful death.
What I didn't understand was okay. It was in the very beginning when Dagger asking Thor where he's been, and then Thor go, "No, Dagger, that would be you." Like, when has Dagger and Thor teamed up?
No. They know who they are by reputation.
I don't. Cloak and Dagger are really kind of on the fringes. I'm sorry, they were very underground and very.
But they've been in every major
crossover,
and haven't they? Probably hung out with the Avengers a lot. They're in New York.
I just never. Like, I mean, I know Dagger's hot, and I know Thor likes the carnal thing, the lights. But I just don't think that I was like. Thor
I was put off from the very beginning because I was like, that's not what Thor talks like.
Yeah,
well, and I was really like, a clone.
I know. I really wanted to hear Thor speak, and I was quite upset. Connor, you made me love Thor speak, by the way.
Yes.
Thor speak is
years ago.
One of the best things ever.
Like when he says, "You are all going down." That's not. Yeah. That's no kind of Thor speak. Even clone Thor wouldn't talk like that. I don't know. I mean, it was just a disappointment. But Bullseye? I mean, they're really... Come on.
What do you mean?
They're going to let Bullseye out to do this? What a dumb idea.
Well, isn't Bullseye in prison? Isn't he in Rikers?
No, he got out, remember?
Oh, right. Well,
apparently they caught him again.
Yeah, exactly.
But Bullseye?
Yeah.
Who are these people on the back page? I got Venom, Bullseye, Taskmaster...
The chick that you think is Elektra is actually Lady Deathstrike.
Lady Deathstrike, that's what I thought. Yep.
Hobgoblin.
Is that Hobgoblin?
A Jack-O-Lantern or something.
Jack-O-Lantern.
Merv Pumpkinhead from The Sandman.
Who's the guy with the Hawkeye kind of mask behind Lady Deathstrike?
Anti-Hawkeye.
And who's not Rogue?
Hawkeye?
No, that's the chick from the Thunderbolts, I think, isn't it?
Right. Songbird.
Yeah, Songbird. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so.
All right.
Well, that's not going to go badly at all.
Yeah. No, that's going to work out great.
It's just so obviously bad. It's like, hey, let's all do crack. That'll make us feel better. Like it's just fraught with peril. So, well, we don't feel good, so maybe we should do some illicit drugs. There's no way that could end badly. It's a horrible idea. Like, Tony Stark's supposed to be smart.
Yeah.
Who is this woman at the funeral? Is it
Black Light? Woman from the first issue that yelled at Tony?
I hope this is helpful for listeners, because it's very helpful for me.
Yeah, well, in the
Mrs.
First,
Sharp?
At the funeral in Stamford, when the woman yelled at Tony on the steps of the church.
Oh, she's a mother of a kid that died.
Yeah,
I see. All right.
Yeah.
See if the issues came out in time, I might remember.
No,
yeah, possibly. Well, in ten.
I wouldn't remember.
In 10 years, when you're reading the omnibus version, because this is like the next Watchmen, it will make sense. So.
This is the next Watchmen. The day
that was said tongue in cheek.
I think so.
All right. So Civil War came out. Yay. Let's move to the opposite end of the spectrum. What do you say?
Okay.
So Connor recently asked me whether I was okay with the upcoming ending of Strangers in Paradise. So we've got 6 issues left to go, and I believe my response was, "I'm okay with it.
You were not blasé, but you were pretty centered about the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it's like I thought about it, and yeah, everything comes to an end, and this is good, and type thing. And I wasn't, and he said, are these last issues getting to you? And I said, no, not really. I'm just along for the ride. I'm reading whatever. Yeah, and then issue number 84 came out this week. and I'm not okay with this at all. It's been big stuff has been happening, and they're moving towards things, and you can kind of tell the direction. You know, he's tying all the plot lines to kind of wrap up at the end within these last 6 issues, and some, you know, major moves are made in this issue to kind of, you know, that makes you hopeful that the characters will get to where you want them to be. But it was, I mean, this was a tough but good read for me this week. I mean, like, very, like, normally I groan when there are multiple pages of the prose when he works that in. Typically, Terry will draw, like, a single splash page and then have a page of prose.
It was really well done, though.
It was really well done. It was really, really good. And I'll be honest, it got me a little choked up.
Yeah, this was a great issue.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
I know that there are people out there reading this in trade, so I don't know if I'd want to give anything away or not. But let me ask. Okay.
Yep.
Do you think it's gonna go good or bad for him?
For Terry?
No.
Oh, David.
Here I am trying to be cryptic. People who are following along, they'll understand.
Who's him?
There's only one male character in the book.
So David.
Yeah.
No, he's toast. He's toast.
You think?
Yeah, he's toast.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know. I think probably. I think the not cop out is that he has to do that.
Well, the thing is that they I don't know how much you remember the previous 83 issues, but like right around issue 50 or so, they jumped. He did a time shift and he jumped away in the future.
Oh yeah, I kind of remember. It's been a long time,
and he's not around. So that's my guess. I'm trying to piece all those time shiftings together.
Did you notice that he numbered the pages, the prose pages?
He always does that.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome though.
Yeah, but he's on fire. I mean, like, he knows these characters. I think it's going to be a good ending.
Yeah, it's gonna be fantastic. I can't.
And it should end.
Yeah,
I love
this book,
but it should end. It's like 6 feet under, and it should have ended. You know.
Right, and honestly, the 6 feet under ending was probably one of the best endings of anything.
What a great ending.
Yeah, it was
great last episode.
Talk about choking up. Oh, jeez. But yeah. So Strange in Paradise. I'm a loser because it got me. So
he made Griffin Silver look just like the Sandman in the beginning, though.
Yeah, he did. But I think that
exactly.
Was, yeah. Yeah.
It's like Frank Miller does the Sandman with a guitar.
With a guitar. Yeah. But Yeah, these. I mean, like, they're. It's funny because, like, you know, 10 years ago, I used to use Strangers in Paradise a lot to make stickers for my zine,
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of panels and pictures that I'm like, oh, that could be a great sticker. So it was good to see that kind of. Whereas, like, in the past, like the past year or two, I haven't really been too jazzed about this because I feel as if he's kind of been going through the motions and the art really hasn't stuck out or whatever. But for some reason, this felt like I Dream of You again.
See, the past couple years, I think he's been. On the road to, I have to tell all these parts of the stories
now.
Exactly. So that there aren't holes, which I guess you could see as utilitarian, but I liked it. I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed David's story
stuff. I still enjoyed it, but it didn't have that same, like, energy and same feel that the Volume 2 had for me.
Yeah.
And I know that's part of that. It'll never be like that again, blah, blah, but, like, I got that feel with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I gasped at pages, you know.
Nice cover, by the way.
Very nice. Very cool. He's experimenting with the different, you know, like, the little you know, I don't know what method this looks like, chalk or something like that. Or,
it's watercolor.
I don't know. I'm not an artist. I don't
it's
know.
Watercolor.
Is it watercolor? No, it's not. It looks more rougher than watercolor.
It's probably digital watercolor.
No, interesting. Anyway, it was really cool. So, good week for Strangers in Paradise. Mm-hmm. So, there's a little indie book for you folks. So,
wait, what happened? What happened?
Connor, wake up. Wake up.
I'm sorry. I was doing crack.
That's the most cliched joke we have. I think.
So, if you like Strangers in Paradise and you want to get into it, you could purchase it from our fine sponsor, comicold.com.
Those pocket books work real good, or whatever they are. Yeah.
Comicold.com carries all the Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, and other indie books, and typically they're about 30 to 50% off. They've got a great subscription service for monthlies, and as we've talked about before, their packaging is excellent. So if you go to comicold.com and tell them that iFanboy.com sent you, we'd appreciate it. So comicold.com, your place for comics online. All right, so good week. Big week, but good week.
Yeah, there's a lot of books. I got kind of mixed up in what were from last week and what was this week because I had to get them all at once.
All jumbly. I picked up Ex Machina because I actually missed that last week.
It was a week for DC, though.
DC?
Yeah.
What is DC?
Exactly.
No, yeah, I agree. Oh, the freaking Flash came out, and I was so disappointed that it wasn't that artist.
I think I'm done with the Flash.
If anybody from DC is listening, whoever drew, the guy who drew issue number 3, bring him back and leave him on the book. Trust me, I'll buy it.
I'm done with it.
Connor will buy it.
Are you both still buying Checkmate?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Will you continue to do so?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
Because there's somebody with my last name who works on it. I just looked at the cover and I saw the credits.
Because you have such an unusual last name.
I know. Oh, and real quickly, we were talking about this on the board last night, actually, but for some reason I bought Wet Works number 1.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why.
I almost did because I saw Mike Carey's name, but apparently he can't do anything other than Lucifer.
No, I'm actually thinking of returning it. I don't know if I can, but like I feel so like dissatisfied customer, like I might send it to Jim Lee and I'm like, "What is this?" So, anyway.
He'll reach over with two hands and open the cover.
He'll reach over with two hands.
He'll have to jump on it so that it closes.
He runs across the page and feels it up. pocket sized. So, all right. So we had a big week for from our listeners again. All right. Our first one comes from Ray from California. This is an email. He says, "What's up, iFanboy?" And this is typically normally we try to summarize the emails, but this is one I'm going to read out straight because I think it's important too. He knows how much we like giving relationship advice. So he has a question to us about dating. He's been going to the same comic shop for the past few years now and noticed that the owner always seems to hire cute girls to work the counter.
Smart.
Apparently these girls also actually read comics too. Who knows where he finds them? We'd like to know. But anyway, a few weeks ago, this girl started working there who's since struck his fancy. Every time he's in the shop, they riff about whatever's clever, and he seems to get a pretty good vibe from her. He'd like to ask her out, but he's not really sure how to go about doing that. See, normally he would simply get to know her over a period of time, then go in for the kill. Usually, I'm only in the comic book shop for about 15 minutes at a time.
You shouldn't kill her.
He always wants to go into the shop more, but unfortunately, he has no reason to until new books come out on Wednesday. It has occurred to him that the shipping schedule of comics does not really lend itself to romantic endeavors, which of course may be a good thing considering that most comic book clerks look like that dude from The Simpsons. But anyway, so what should I do, iFanboy? What's my plan of action here? For the record, I personally don't look like that guy on The Simpsons, so I think I might have a shot.
I would say, first of all, the last time we gave romantic advice, we never heard from the guy again.
No, they got married. They're getting married.
No, the guy from the pilot from San Antonio.
What happened to you, dude? Yeah, what happened with that? Anyway, all right. So,
well, I mean, first off, everybody is familiar with this in some way. Have we all been through this? No.
Familiar with what?
What?
Dating?
The comic shop.
Girls?
No, the girl. I
have never
shop.
Been to a store where a girl works at the comic store.
Midtown Comics has two girls working.
Yeah, actually, I did notice that.
Here's what you need to know.
Yeah.
Every other guy there thinks exactly the same way you do.
Yeah.
And they all think, well, I'm pretty good looking too.
Well, either she's been hit on a lot or not at all.
Yeah, it's going to go either way.
That's the only way it's going to go.
Here's the call. Here's the jot. You guys can say whatever. You need to, A, do you have another shop? Do you have another option? Because if you go for this and you bomb...
you can't not get the comics. Very good point.
Yeah. Or you can just be... Or you can play it really super cool. And if you bomb, you still go for your books. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But that's a rough one. That's a level 8 move.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, do you have any advice, or you just have words of caution?
He shouldn't beat around the bush forever. I think you say he should just go for it if he plans on it.
Well, that's the thing, and the thing is that like if he's only there, the thing is on Wednesdays it's probably pretty busy. It's probably pretty hectic.
Bad right? day.
So, you can't.
So what you got to do is you got to start going in on Saturday or on Friday or on Monday under the guise of you forgot to get a book or you want to pick up a trade.
Yeah.
Or for some reason.
Lots of things you can browse at a comic store without Wednesday.
But you can't do that all the time. You can do
And the thing is she might not be working those days. So you got to be careful and you got to, you know, if the work schedule is posted behind the desk, kind of behind the counter, kind of see if you can subtly see what day she's working or whatever.
Wow, that's bad.
Or you could just call in and go, "Hello, I was wondering if you could tell me what day Mindy is working." No reason. I'm the great uncle.
She's coming for some money.
My name is Umbabwe. I'm from Nigeria.
But finally, what you need to do is you need to find a hook other than comics, I think. If she's wearing a t-shirt of a band or if she, you know, you see her, like you see, you know, her driving to work and you see what kind of car she drives or something like that, you need something other than comics. Because if you're basing the whole thing that she's cute and she's in the comics, you're going to fail. You need to find something else to connect with, I think. And then... just, you know, and like Josh said, go for it. Strike up a conversation and just, you can play the angle. Like, listen, I know you're at work. I don't want to bother you. Maybe you want to get a cup of coffee after you get off work. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm never a fan of time-sensitive flirtations.
Yeah.
Unless there's alcohol involved, it's usually...
But don't go to the store with a six-pack and be like, hey, want a beer?
Yeah.
Like, that's not good either.
Drink five of these and I'll be back.
Wednesday on a comic shop's no good, though.
Yeah,
Wednesday
is... Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I would say you don't go in Wednesday. Like, go on Thursday or Friday and pick... No, go on Thursday or Friday and pick up your books.
It depends on the size of the store. The books might not be there anymore Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know if he has a pull list or not. But that's good to not go in on Wednesday because then you're like, yeah, I don't care. You know, I'm cool.
Yeah.
So good luck, Ray.
But really the point is just go... Do it or not. You're not going to kill... You're going to... It's kind of...
Yeah, but don't flit around it for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Don't turn it into this whole big thing. So if she says no, then you're devastated. Just fucking just go out there and try it, and you only live once, man.
So. It's true.
So keep us posted on the progress. All right. So our next email comes from Scott. He just listened to the podcast and it was excellent as usual. Thank you, Scott. But he wants to know what's with the JMS hating. It was the combination of finding out that JMS was writing comic books in the Sin City movie that pulled him back into collecting after a 15 year absence. Once he got back into comics, he found that he got all the Amazing Spider-Man back issues that JMS wrote, and he's not a really big Fantastic Four fan, but he's starting to read that because of JMS.
When did he write a Sin City movie?
No, it was because of
the fact that they
came
out.
Oh, yeah. I see. Sorry.
Yeah. So he wants to know if it's the rewriting of Spider-Man's origin, or is it something general about his writing that we don't like?
He's not very good.
if you just got into comics when Sin City came out, you probably missed the JMS's entry point into the world. And what happened was, it was like the late 90s, and all of a sudden this dude who's writing Babylon 5 starts writing this fucking awesome comic called Rising Stars, right?
Right.
8 issues.
Blew us away.
Possibly the best 8 issues of a comic.
Yeah. Could definitely have been considered the next Watchmen.
Absolutely.
And then...
Nothing.
It tanked. And then he got into some big, like, tussle with Top Cow over the rights and whatever, and the books came out sporadically over the excruciatingly.
By sporadically means once a year.
Excruciatingly over several years,
and the
quality went way down. Yeah, it was a stroke of brilliance that ended up sucking. And then he moved to Marvel and settled in at Marvel and became Quesada's little, you know, Dick Cheney, and. he tinkered with Squadron Supreme, with that Supreme Power Max book,
which was good.
Was all right, but kind of dragged. And then he started writing Spider-Man, and then he gave Spider-Man these weird spider based mythical powers.
And then he had Gwen Stacy have a baby with Norman Osborn.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it went to hell.
Yeah, and I don't read Fantastic Four, so it might be good. And I've seen him in the con, and he just seems like a jerk. So I'll make it personal.
I wasn't going to go that strong on him.
I just made it personal.
That was hating.
Yeah.
That really was. I was just going to say I don't really like his work that much.
Right. But the irony is that I buy Amazing Spider-Man. So
Amazing Spider-Man, the last since Civil War, since the Iron Spider, has been really good.
Yeah, no, it has.
He's kind of hit or miss with me. Like, he's done some things that are really good, but I think a lot of times he's a little overrated.
He tends to start off really strong.
Yeah.
And then...
I don't even know if overrated is it, because I think a lot of people really like him. Like, I don't...
Yeah, no, there are people...
Personally, and I think you guys are very similar, we don't really like his work that much. Not that he's bad.
People who love Babylon 5.
But he's kind of a blowhard, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant by the jerk.
Yeah. He's got no low opinion of himself.
Scott has one more comment on a completely different note. He's been backtracking on a lot of the X-Men titles, and he recently read the issue I referred to last week embarrassingly about the shower scene with Jean Grey and Psylocke, and he thought it was amusing.
No.
He was glad to hear us defend Jim Lee as he's taken quite a few shots on the site. And
we
I will continue to defend
him.
Jim Lee.
He's too small to defend himself.
Oh, so God. Thank you, Scott, for
the
email.
He could buy and sell me...
several times over.
Many, many, many times over.
Jim Lee,
what he's done in the industry.
I just had this mental image of Jim Lee holding these huge iPod earbuds to both sides of his head listening to the podcast. What the hell's going on? Anyway, so, Jim Lee, if you're listening,
I'm sorry.
It's not so
hit
loud.
Me Josh Flanagan's head in a platter.
All right, so our next email comes from Andrew, who's a relatively new listener to the podcast, so welcome. He, on the podcast and on Augie's podcast, Augie DeBleek of the Pipeline podcast, he hears references to the idea of pulling out and reading an old issue. Having read comics for 10 years plus and the like, he imagined, like most of our audience, he's accumulated quite a collection that weighs more than the food he can eat in a year. So he wants to know, how do we store our books without throwing our backs out and digging through boxes?
I can attest to the fact that Josh has a collection that weighs more than the food he can eat in a year.
That's true, yeah.
I threw my back out, so...
And interestingly enough, Andrew does an annual event of realphabetizing his collection, so it's all very organized, which is great. But unfortunately, I know Connor and I both have the same solution, where our books are in long boxes and they're in offsite storage units.
Yes, so you can't pull out.
I've got a third party here pushing for that particular solution as well.
Yeah. So our ability to pull out issues is very limited, but the reorganization. The last time I reorganized the books was it 2001 or 2002?
You sent pictures.
And it literally took over my apartment for like a week. I mean, like I had to move furniture out of the living room and the office area to keep all the books. It was awful.
As you two can attest, I have no organization of any kind.
Yeah, no, we were flipping through his long box and I was just like,
what is this?
No organization.
I don't care. It's fine.
How can you find anything?
You know what I did? A, I don't ever go to find anything. Like, it's very rare that I'm like, I need to check on a Thunderbolts from 1999. Like, it doesn't happen. But what I did do was, when I was going through my books, I pulled out all of the issues of certain series. Like, so I pulled out all of the Why the Last Man, and I pulled out all of the Ultimate Spider-Man and all the Fables and all the Queen and Countries and stuff like that, and I put those in order because those are like the really good books that I will.
Do you realize that you were one step away from alphabetizing? Like, that you had them grouped. All you got to do is put them in order.
I didn't alphabetize them. I'm putting them in order, but like,
right.
I just have the collection. I want to read through Queen and Country again, for example.
Right.
So, but I have those ready for that. But as far as all like the random Marvel and DC issues of stuff, I don't
just
really
all
care.
Thrown in. I'm due for a reorganization, and I'm just scared.
The question is, how do you get them from the storage house?
Well, that's the thing, is that what I need, the next reorganization is going to have to happen in anticipation of like moving or something, where several months advance, I take them all out of the storage unit, reorganize, and then put them in the new storage unit. But who knows?
Moving on.
Dustin from Minnesota writes, if each of us were one of the hottest writers in comics today,
give it time, Dustin.
which of the two companies would you sign an exclusive
agreement? The big two companies.
Big two companies. Let's say that you've decided to forego freelance work for the steady paycheck and health benefits. Would we go with Marvel? More books in circulation? Perhaps more money because of the greater exposure and the wealth of interesting heroes and anti-heroes from which to choose?
Well, there's no bias in that.
Or DC. Iconic superheroes in the main books, the Wildstorm universe to do subversive superpower stories, and Vertigo to tackle other genres.
Biased.
No, he's not.
Yes, he
no,
is.
No, he's not. I think he balanced it.
No, no.
You thought he was biased towards Marvel?
Absolutely. No, yes, absolutely.
He just said DC had iconic superheroes, subversive superpower stories in Wildstorm, and Vertigo tackle.
I would take issue with the more interesting heroes and anti-heroes from Marvel, and the fact that there are more books in circulation, which is not true. It's almost 50-50 at this point.
I think you're distracting the point.
Biased.
So you're a hot writer. You're going to sign an exclusive contract, DC or Marvel. You got Joe on one phone, and you got the DO on your other phone. Who do you sign with?
Marvel.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Connor?
DC, I don't know anything about Marvel characters.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I would go with DC.
Really?
Yeah, you know why?
No.
because DC is backed by Time Warner, and they're a much more stable company.
But
I bet they have better benefits.
Yeah, and the thing is, I would make my splash, and then I'd make a big deal 2 years or at the end of my contract about moving to Marvel.
The reason I said Marvel, the reason I said Marvel was because I think a couple of years ago I would have definitely gone with DC because Vertigo's there and you could do other stuff there. But Marvel has Icon now, so if you wanted to do your own thing, you have that.
Not really. But the they thing don't is really that, do from
what I understand, from what I understand of Icon, is that it's not like it's Marvel has Icon. It's like Bendis and Mac.
They don't put
and
anything
and
else
book
out.
And Brubaker. Yeah. I mean, like, it's a possibility. Though.
Right now, Icon is putting out the following books. They're putting out Powers. They're putting out Kabuki. Mm-hmm. They're putting out Criminal. And they put out the Kirby thing that just came out. The whatever, the Jack Kirby, you know, stuff that they found or whatever. So it's not like it's a huge thing, and aside from the Kirby thing, you can see
the scenario is one of the hottest writers in comics. So if I went to them with any original series and wanted to do it, and they would do it, then that would be just as good a place to do it as anywhere, and I'd still own it.
I don't know. It seems like all the people who want to do that go back over to DC. So there must be a reason for that.
Well, Vertigo. The difference is that Vertigo books have a certain feel to them, so you can't just do anything under it. It's not like Image. Whereas Icon, you get the sense it could be anything. There's some things that you couldn't get done at DC.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, I mean, like the
other thing, the other thing...
There's editing going on. There is editing going on, yeah.
I just feel like the leadership at DC is a little older and a little more staid like, Paul Levitz and Dan DiDio.
Yeah.
Than some of the stuff going on at Marvel. That's just a perception thing, though.
Yeah. Good question, though. Fun
very
to think
good
about.
Question.
So that wraps up our emails. If you have an email or a question that you want to ask us, you can send us that email to contact@ifanboy.com. And we love getting the emails, and we respond to everyone. So even if we don't read yours on the podcast, we will get back to you.
Eventually.
So voicemail. Our first voicemail comes from Luke from New Zealand, topping our one last week from Australia. And he actually sent along an MP3 as opposed to calling the 1-800 number, which is pretty cool. So let's hear what Luke has to say.
Hey guys, this is Luke Bett from Whakatane, New Zealand. Love the show, been listening since the Comic-Con video, and it's great to hear people chatting about comics, especially when you're a few hours away from the local comic book store, and not many people have the level of enthusiasm to them as I might. Anyway, saw that you were at the Isotope store the other week and was wondering what you thought of the proprietor, James Syme. Do you think he's copying the look of the character Isotope from Robert Kirkman's Invincible, or is Rob just doing a cool shout-out to the guy? Anyway, great chatting, and keep up the great work.
Well, Ron knows the answer to that.
All right, well, before we get to the answer, I mean...
The guy's in New Zealand. That's crazy.
That's awesome. And apparently New Zealand and Australia are, like, the worst places to be into comics, because it seems like they've got to go miles to get their...
Well, there's no gasoline. There's a guy with a mask running around on a big bike, hitting people with spiky sticks. And
and all these little people with big feet walking around.
Mad Max, anybody? All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and they made a Lord of the Rings thing. All right, anyway. So James, what do we think? James is awesome. James from Isotope. What do we think of him? He's a great guy. As far as his look and the character Isotope from Invincible, James is completely ripping off that character. He named his store after the character, and he changed his look to match the character. It's actually quite disgusting, actually. And I told him, I'm like, you know, you could be a little more original than that. So, so read between the lines, Luke. So thank you for sending that MP3, Luke, from New Zealand. And if you're in Australia or New Zealand and you listen to us as well, please, you know, speak up. So our next voicemail.
He really took the initiative, too.
He really did, yeah. Well, last week when you weren't here, Josh, the guy from Australia sent an MP3 as well, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Well.
So, and they have similar accents, slightly different. all right. So our next voicemail comes from Connor's favorite, Jimsky.
Hey, iFanboy.com. This is Jimsky calling from the relative safety of St. Louis, Missouri, far, far away from anyone who wants to hurt me. We here in the Midwest, and especially in the Gateway City, the jewel of the Midwest, are uniters, not dividers. So I will say that I see no reason why Jim Lee should be unemployed. The fact that he became popular right at the exact moment that I stopped reading comics the first time was mere coincidence. And I'm sure if I'd been a little bit younger, I too would have had all sorts of strange feelings about his panels of Jean Grey undressing in the shower. I will also say that, yes, I'm gonna say this out loud. Yes, Alan Moore is a little overrated. From Hell was aptly titled. I'll never get that time back. And I find it interesting that he reacted so negatively to the V for Vendetta movie, given the fact that both Watchmen and the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen were supposed to consist of little more than him screwing with other people's characters beyond all recognition. Now that I've alienated the entire fan base, I have a question for you three. If you're anything like me, you've come to the conclusion lately that you spend twice as much time reading about comics as you spend reading comics. So if you were to try and fix this problem for me or yourself, and had to boil it down to, like, the most essential websites or podcasts for you to spend your precious time on in a given week, how much time would that be allotted for that, and who would you recommend? Just a random question. Please, nobody hit me. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Well, Jimsky really, really brings it, doesn't he?
Boo, Jimsky.
He also doesn't pay credence to our warning to keep him short and brief, unfortunately.
I think he scripts it.
I think he does too, to be honest with you. It was funny, though.
He's got talking points or something.
Bullet point. He's got a PowerPoint in front of him. And he's So his question, how much time do we spend reading back comics?
Well, wait a minute. The most important thing is he's completely wrong about From Hell.
Yeah, he is.
That's one of the best graphic novels ever created.
Yeah. It's not an easy read, though.
But that's wrong. Jimsky, you disappoint me.
It's hard to get through. And the first time I had a hard time, I read it again, and it was better.
I had no problem getting through it. It just terrified me the entire way through. But
you're
no problem.
A reader.
True.
I mean, now I really appreciate it, but I can understand. Like, it doesn't speak to everybody. It's very, very steeped in Victorian British era stuff, and it's not the easiest thing in the world. Maybe Jimsky's not
up
to it.
I think you have to have a certain. But you also
come
have
on. I'm calling him out, and you're talking over.
You have to have a certain whatever.
Proclivity.
Proclivity towards that subject matter. Proclivities towards that subject matter.
Sure.
Matter. You know, Connor, you're interested in Ripperology, so it's up your alley. So.
But do you love it because of From Hell? Like, did you get into it after you read that?
No. I like true crime mystery.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated by Jack the Ripper, and I was psyched to read the graphic novel because of that. You know, so. Anyway,
if anything, Alan Moore is underrated as a graphic novelist.
Yes. He doesn't get enough credit.
He doesn't.
So
it's too bad that just our great unwashed hordes of comic fans are the only people who appreciate him.
Not everybody, apparently, Jimsky.
So awesome.
What are you, a commie spy? What's going on?
Pinko.
On to his question. How much time spent reading about comics and what websites to check out?
Less than I used to.
And I can't, believe, you know, he even has the gall to ask this. Considering there's only one spot on the web that you need to go to for all your comics news and discussion, and that's ifanboy.com.
Except we get all the stories from other places.
That's the point. It's a summary.
I read actually much less about comics than actually I used to.
Me too.
Yeah, which is funny.
I found that we at least the three of us spend a lot less time talking about, like, the movements and comings and goings of comics people and the business, and we spend a lot more time talking about stories and characters and the way that things are being done rather than the personalities behind it. Because it got...
Like, there was recently some editorial moves between Marvel and DC, and I saw the headlines, and I just rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, who cares? That's like, oh my god, did you hear the director of public relations from the Mets went to the Yankees? Mm-hmm. It's just like, no, it doesn't, you know, like, I don't care about that, so...
Talking the podcast, though... You guys listen to a lot of podcasts.
We do listen to a lot of comics. The conversation about comics, we do listen to a lot, and that sort of thing.
Well, what are some of the ones you guys listen to?
Well, we've talked about the comics podcast we listen to already. I mean, but as far as the sites, but in my blog roll, in my list of links and everything, I still do check out comic book resources. I don't spend a lot of time there, but I check out, you know, Lying in the Gutters and Augie's column and Eric Larson's column. I never go to Newsarama. I never go to the Pulse.
You never go to Newsarama?
I never go to Newsarama.
I do.
Only when Connor sends me. Only when Connor sends me links, and then I groan. I go, and I click it, and I have to read it, and then I have to comment, and so leave me alone so I can get back to work.
Know someone's going to get less IMs at work.
I know, no, I'm joking. I love it. And quite honestly, I do read our site, and I like the discussion about comics on our site because it's actually... I believe it's fairly substantive, you know, like Josh was saying, about the characters and
the issues and themes and things. It's not about contracts and bullshit.
And, you know, just sort of what goes into making comic books and what makes comic books good and things like that. I'd say that most of the podcasts I listen to have to do with that kind of thing. I pretty much only listen to interviews of creators now, I think. That and Augie's.
Yep, which is brilliant every week. So. All right. Our next voicemail comes from Chris from Boston.
Hi, this is Chris from Boston, and I just listened to Ron's confession about the shower scene from Uncanny X-Men 273, and I wanted to tell Ron that he's not alone. My moment actually came a few books earlier in number 269, where Rogue falls out of the Siege Perilous and crashes back into reality in this two-page Jim Lee spread. You know, stark naked, just a few strategically placed wisps of smoke, and I really do believe that one scene just jump-started me right into puberty. So there's my embarrassing comic book secret. Guys, keep up the good work. And Connor, sorry if this made you uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I remember that issue. Ugh. X-Men 269. That was actually the first issue of Uncanny X-Men I ever purchased. And I remember the exact page he's talking about when Rogue fell out of the building. And she wasn't wearing anything.
You're disturbed.
But it wasn't nearly as hot as the shower scene. I'm sorry. But I'm not alone here, guys. I know you guys think I'm crazy, but I'm not alone. So
you touched a nerve.
I did. It's not a nerve we want. It's not a nerve we want to touch.
I didn't want to say it, but it was just, I couldn't.
Well, anyway, so thanks, Chris. All right, our next voicemail comes from Jack from Pittsburgh.
Hi, this is Jack from Pittsburgh. I just wanted to compliment you on the Booth Babes of San Diego video podcast. That was by far, I think, the best work that you guys have done. And I've watched it like 6 times already, so I really do like it. So I really love the podcast, even though I have to say I've never purchased a book you guys have recommended, but I still listen for some reason. So, and I'm not on the Frapper map. I refuse to be held to that tyranny. So talk to you guys soon. I'll keep on listening. Bye.
What does he buy, then?
Does he read comics at all?
We recommend a lot of books.
I know. I think we've talked about pretty much every book in existence, including Scrooge McDuck. Strange. Well, we're glad you liked the video, and if you don't know what he's talking about, if you look in our feed or if you go to our site, we recently put out the last bit of our San Diego coverage, which was a short little vignette about the Booth Babes of San Diego, which I believe, you know, was a fun time, right, Connor?
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks to everybody who sent in a voicemail, and if you want to send in a voicemail, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 326-2697. And please try to keep the voicemails brief, about 30 seconds, so you have a better chance of getting on air with that. So,
yes. Talking to you, Jimski. Yeah, but we still played it.
It was still, but it was funny. We could not. Anyway.
We're telling him one thing, and we're doing another.
Yeah. So, what's going on in the Frapper map that Jack doesn't want to be held to the tyranny of?
Which is odd, but we're at 360, which is a big jump from last week, about 17 people. Including some highlights, Rob Ellis from Reading, England, Bob Bill Stanley from Riverdale, New York, Tad Stones, which is either a really fake name or a really cool name, from Burbank, California, Comic Addict from Youngsville, North Carolina, Eric Michael from Miami, John from Redwood City, California, Carlos from Whitestone, New York, Nicholas Leon from Carolina, Ryan with an I from Portland, Chuck from Newport News, Virginia, and Jane, finally put a pin in, from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Thank you.
Get out of here.
Somebody from Whitestone, that's pretty cool.
Yes,
I heard somebody from Burbank. You should go to House of Secrets.
Maybe they do.
If they don't, they should.
So if you want to be represented on our map, you can go to frapper.com/ifanboy. That's frapper.com/ifanboy, or click the banner in the upper right hand corner on ifanboy.com.
I think that wraps the show up. You okay there?
It was good to have you back, Josh.
Thank you very much.
It feels right now. It didn't feel a little off of me. I feel like a comics date with Connor.
Yeah, so, it was a little awkward.
Yeah, a little awkward. And then I started talking about the shower scene.
Did you guys just make fun of me the whole time?
No.
I don't really remember it.
Is it one of those things where you didn't have anything to talk about, so you just talked about me?
Yeah, we just told embarrassing stories about you.
That's great.
So, anyway, so... So don't forget to check out ifanboy.com, check out all the discussion, check out the Pick of the Week thread, read Josh's review, and see what some of the other folks on the site were reading this week, and please tell us what you were into this week. If there was a comic that we missed that you thought was really good, let the world know.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. Questions, comments, concerns, hate mail, arguments, Jimski, Daryl, that sort of thing.
Jim Lee, we are totally kidding.
Jim Lee, if you're listening, please leave us a voicemail.
Ron loves you, Jim Lee.
So you can go to myspace.com/ifanboy and be our friend there, because we like
Jim Lee,
friends.
Be our friend on MySpace. So
you know, or not probably, Jim Lee, anybody really.
We could probably look that up.
We probably could look that up. So, and if you also, if you like the podcast, go to podcastalley.com or iTunes and vote for us, or leave us a rating, or leave us a review, or comment, or that sort of thing. We love to hear what our users think of us through the various podcast aggregators.
And tell your friends about the show, and introduce it to other people. Maybe people don't read comics, because it's a very inclusive show.
You know what would be a great idea is if you're interested in some girl at the comic shop, you could be like, hey, there's this really interesting thing that I put on the podcast.
Yes.
We could ask her out for him.
Oh, that's a genius idea.
Oh,
Ray from California, email us if you want us to do that. We'll totally ask her out for you if you can get her to listen to the podcast. But don't have her listen to this week's podcast, because that's where we talked about it.
It would be a spoiler.
Yeah.
It's like with people that propose marriage at a baseball game.
Email us. We'll hook it up. Good idea.
Oh, let's kill this. Wait a minute, though. What about money? What about cash money?
What about money, Josh?
If you want to help us pay for the shows, we'd really, really appreciate that. And you can go to ifanboy.com/donations, and there are various ways that you could contribute to the show. And we promise we won't waste the money, but we'll make everything much better over time.
We'll make it worth your while. And
yes.
Also, if you go to ifanboy.com/donations, it's the best joke on the site, as we talked about in an earlier podcast. All right, so I think that's it for this week's show. I'm Ron.
Josh.
I'm Connor.
And hopefully we'll make it to next week, because this has been a rough week.
Terrible, terrible.
Haggard.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened, because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.